Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, I'll just say your name and your role with the show.
Ken Matt Martin. I am the director and one of the co-choreographers.
Yes, a long way down. It's going to be at Olney Theater Center now through June 23rd. Hey, thanks for joining us.
I'm very happy to be here, Jason. Thanks for having me.
All right, so this is a very, the premise of this show is a very timely topic, but I'll have you say it because that way I can use the soundbite on the radio. It doesn't matter if I say it. So yeah, give us the basic premise of, you know, who Will is and you know, we don't want to spoil anything, but whatever would be, you know, fit for like a log line or a trailer.
Sure. So Long Way Down, the original book is by Jason Reynolds, a New York Times bestseller, and this musical adaptation by Con Hersey and Dalek Braithwaite is this incredible adaptation of this book about this young man who loses his brother Sean to gun violence. This young man named Will loses his brother Sean to gun violence, and there are three rules in his community. You don't cry, you don't snitch, and if someone who you love is killed, you avenge their death. And so the story is actually about after Will's brother is killed, he gets on the elevator with the intent to follow that third rule with his brother's gun and with the intent to avenge his brother's death. And then as he's on the elevator on his way down to the first floor, he encounters the ghosts of people who he has lost in his life to gun violence, both people he actually knew and just people from his neighborhood and community who in various forms either try to persuade him to do it or not to do it, and or just give him perspective on what will happen if he does do it.
Wow, that sounds so powerful. Oh, wait, so is the whole thing set in the elevator? Is it a one location thing, or is it they're a little outside the elevator, either, you know, like bookends or something?
Well, it is literally, right, part of the book all takes place in the elevator once he gets on it. There are the first 15 minutes or so, you get to see him with his brother and with his mother in their apartment, in their family home. And then as he then gets on the elevator and the journey begins with the musical, it all takes place on the elevator. But the way that the musical works, there are some like flashbacks to memories that the ghosts use to try to influence and empower him to do one thing or the other. And so there are moments where we come out of the elevator, but we do have an actual elevator, which is a thing that lights up and moves and smokes. It is in hydraulics and goes up and down and does all these fun things that we've choreographed dance numbers to, where you get to see it look as if they're actually on the elevator itself.
Wow. Okay. So that's what I was going to ask, was how you visually bring that to life. But it sounds like, I thought it was just going to be, you know, maybe like, lights, projections that make it look like the elevator's moving, but you're saying it's actually on hydraulics and so it's a little more high tech. That's cool. That's cool. So I guess you said there's dance numbers. Is it a musical or just more dancing? You mean?
Oh, it is a musical, like a full blown musical. There are 20 songs.
What are some of the song titles? Shout out some of the highlights. I mean, folks probably won't know because it's more of a newer musical, but yeah, again. Highlight some.
They're earworms. So once you see it, you will remember some of them. You Haven't Got It In You, which like that obviously is pretty descriptive in terms of what are the ghosts taunting him about whether or not he does or doesn't have it in him to be able to do this deed that he's trying to do. Another song title, really simple, is called The Cry, which is the incredible song that Io Brown, who plays the mom in the show, Cherie, sings to show the manifestation of her grief after Sean is killed. It is a kind of powerhouse thing that takes the house down every night. And then there's this other great number called Play It Out, which is one of, the favorite numbers that includes the whole cast, where the ghost of Will's uncle comes to visit him. And he was a filmmaker when he was alive. And so the whole number is this kind of like influenced, kind of like Cali hip hop swag with a lot of hip hop, rap, and singing. The score is a mix of gospel, R&B, a little bit of Michael Jackson influence, and a lot of hip hop. So Play It Out is one of those numbers that kind of mixes all those elements together, where you're seeing the ghost of his uncle kind of like play out the scenario of like, so if you do what you say you want to do, what could happen? So those are three of the highlights: The Cry, Play It Out, and You Ain't Got It In You.
Thank you for highlighting some of them. Yes, and I'm sure there'll be earworms rattling around our brains the second we walk out of that theater. Well, cool. So dish on the cast a little bit. So who plays our Will? Will. Who plays our Will?
Yeah. So this incredible, incredible actor named Tyree Sean Avery. He goes by Ty for short. He's 22 years old, from the Bronx, New York originally. Was fresh out of undergrad when we first found him. We did a workshop of the show at the Apollo in New York this past October. And I found him literally from an audition, plucked him straight out of undergrad. He went to NYU and he plays the lead and he is incredible. Truly one of the most talented human beings on the face of the planet. He can sing like nobody's business. He can rap, he can dance. He's an incredible actor. So he is our anchor. And then I have to always shout out the person who plays his big brother, Victor Musoni, who plays Sean, who's also the co-choreographer alongside me. So there is some incredible, incredible dancing in this show. And Victor and I created a lot of the bigger group numbers together. And then there's a couple of numbers that are just Victor as Sean's, you know, in his death and as a ghost dancing with Will through certain numbers, or Will can't see him. And it's some of the most incredible work you've probably ever seen. So a big shout out to Victor, who is both co-choreographer and holding things down as Sean. And then the rest of the cast is pretty incredible. It's a small group. So you have Paris Lewis, who plays his character Buck. Paris played Tina Turner on the Tina Turner National Tour this past year. So if you've seen that show anywhere around the country, you might have seen Paris, and she is incredible. Naki McAbroad, who plays the uncle. Quincy Vicks, who's a great DC actor who just won a Helen Hayes Award for Outstanding Ensemble recently, plays Mikey, the father. And then Colin Carswell, who plays Frick, and Charisse Dillon, who plays Danny. Now I started naming them all, so I can't forget them. I think I got everybody. because I mentioned Io earlier, and it's just a really, really incredible cast of people who literally do some of everything, and it's kind of insane what all that they have to do every night, and I'm just truly humbled to get to direct them all.
Fantastic, yeah. Well, I'm sure they're lucky to have you as their director. It probably goes both ways. Well, hey, I want to dish on the source author here a little bit, Jason Rivers, sure. Because well, you mentioned that the book version, the Long Way Down book, was I think it was a Newbery Medal winner. You know, when the young adult novel, they slaps that medal on the cover, you know, it's going to be a good book.
Yeah.
But remind him, Jason is from around here. He grew up right here in the DMV.
Born and raised in D.C., still lives in D.C. Like, I was actually directing a different play at a different place and realized he lived around the corner from that theater. I felt only when we were chatting recently. Jason's incredible, and he's been a great, great champion and very close to the project since our first workshop. He's been so gracious as well with allowing us a space. The thing he's said to us multiple times is like, I've already written the book. The book is the book. You all are artists and I trust you, and I want to let artists make their art. So make the adaptation that makes the most sense to you. And he's been so supportive and so wonderful. And I won't spoil it, but one of the things that he did say that was really important to him that I think we have finally figured out with this particular iteration of the show is maintaining his beautiful ending of the actual novel. And we have figured out a way to kind of dramatize that is eliciting some gasp and strong reactions every night at the end of the show, which is really, really exciting for us because it was a big task to try to figure that out. And that was one of the only things Jason kind of asked of us, but it's actually given us a lot of creative freedom. And he's just been really, really wonderful and supportive. And he's just a good guy who really cares deeply about young people reading, and even more importantly about young Black boys and Black men being able to have a full range of emotions and knowing that it's okay for us to experience them and to show them. And that's really what the play is about. It's easy to think that it's a play about gun violence, when in reality it is a play about this young Black man navigating his journey of grief, and also this community of people that we often think of as just like perpetrators of gun violence or victims of gun violence, are these nameless people, and yet they're actual people who lived, and that's what the musical is about as well.
Awesome. Well said. Yes. Thanks for shouting out Jason Reynolds. And just so folks know, so for posterity purposes, born in D.C., raised in Oxon Hill, Maryland, which is over, you know, where the MGM National Harbor and all that is now. Bishop McNamara High School, shout out, in Prince George's County, and went to the University of Maryland, was an English major there in college.
And I think so. He can teach there as well, or maybe even still teaches there at times, is my understanding. So
I'm sure he probably does. Well, hey, I'm a fellow Terp too, so when I read that, I was like, all right, go ahead. Jason's from Maryland. Hey, awesome. Well, I don't want to leave on a down note, but it is a heavy issue. So I do want to ask, you know, why is, obviously the answer is obvious, but just for my purposes, why is this such a timely topic? You know, we've seen so many school shootings. Well, I can't even just say school shootings. It's movie theaters and shopping malls and everything you can imagine. It's become a epidemic in our country. But yeah, why obviously is now the perfect timely time to do this and to be doing a show that tackles such a topic?
Yeah, well, I think I'll just reiterate again that, you know, it's a story there where gun violence is an inciting incident, but it's actually about, again, the way in which people within that particular community have to navigate healing journeys in grief and find the way forward when you find yourself in that situation. So I think, given the fact, you know, it to be clear, is guns and the epidemic of guns and gun violence as a whole is something that obviously is plaguing this country at the moment in a multitude of different ways, as you said. And yet what I love and the reason why I said yes to this project, the reason I'm very proud to be a part of it and working with Kion and Dalak and Victor and Jason to tell this particular story is that we don't always do a good job, in my humble opinion, in this country about talking about how we navigate grief, how we navigate moving forward after these types of tragic incidents have occurred. And so it's obviously timely to the extent that these kinds of things are continuing to happen in every community all the time. And yet it's a story that's actually navigating, but what do you do with that information of how to navigate on the other side of it? And how do we actually work to stop this? How do we keep these cycles? How do we keep the cycles from continuing on? That's what this musical is actually tackling, is the larger, more complex question of like, how can we stop them before they happen? That's literally what the whole thing is about. And or how can we create the space to look at human beings and understand how and why they might feel that that's the only thing that they can go to? And so that's always going to be timely. And I'm also very proud of the fact that this musical and this adaptation in particular tackles the topic of who were these people that become just numbers and statistics. It actually focuses on humanizing those folks instead of just looking at them as numbers on a page or on a TV screen. And I think that's what's really important, and also what makes it even more timely, I would opine.
Well said. Thank good opining. yeah, it is. Yes. And you know, and I want to encourage folks that, yes, it is. It could be seen as a heavy topic, but it is. That's what theater is for. You go and you grapple with these things, and it's filled with life and you know, and experiences, and it's a dynamic performance. So absolutely do not be scared off, folks, when you see, oh, it's about gun violence. Oh, I hear that too much on the news. No. This is the most dynamic kind of theater you can go to. You have to get a ticket. Cool. Well, I mean, I have more than enough to work with. I guess final seconds, like pretend I'm not even here and talk directly to our listeners. Invite them on out, you know, say, hey, you know, come on up to Allany Theater and see Long Way Down or whatever you want to say. But final seconds to say whatever the heck you want to say.
Yeah, come see Long Way Down at Allany Theater Center if you want to see a show that is going to challenge and make you think about who people are and who gets to have the opportunity to navigate grief in difficult moments and how they go about navigating it, but also more importantly, how we celebrate those who lived even if they've been taken from us too soon. That's what this play is about, and I hope you can come see it.
Awesome. Hey, you were great. Thank you so much for doing this. Oh my gosh, I completely forgot to mention. Isn't one of your co-producers was from did A Strange Loop which just dominated Broadway a couple years ago, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, Edgewood Entertainment, who's one of the commercial producers who came on to support the show at Allany, and TheaterWorks USA, also who did The Lightning Thief on Broadway. So they're known for adapting these kind of young adult novels in particular. The two of them are New York-based producers that helped make this possible alongside the Allany, and we're very, very appreciative of all of their support.
Okay, so this was first staged in New York before coming down to Allany. Do you know when it was staged in New York?
Like, no. Actually, it's not been staged yet. You're at Allany. So Allany is getting it first. Maryland is getting it first. And then it goes to New York for like its full stage premiere next year. These producers have just been producing the workshops that we've done. So, you know, with the new musical in particular, we've been working on it for 3 years. So this musical has been in development for 3 years, and they've supported all the developmental work. And then Allany gave it its premiere. And then we take it to New York next year for some dates that will be announced at the Apollo Theater.
So this is the world premiere. That makes it even bigger and better for, you know,
yes, making it now before
writing the headline.
Yeah,
world premiere. And you know what? Jason Reynolds is from here. So, of course, yeah, come on, baby. It's got to open here. And then you can go to little old New York.
Yeah, New York next. You know, that little town. We'll get there next. But no, yeah. Started in Maryland. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm tired. I always hear people say off Broadway. This is going to be off D.C. Broadway in New York is off D.C. at this point.
Sure. We'll take that.
I don't know if I can get that going. We'll get that trending, maybe. All right. Hey, thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much, Jason.